Welcome to Tip Top, growing up your business with Metronomics. We will be talking with business thought leaders, entrepreneurs, CEOs, and business team coaches who have all taken the journey to grow up their businesses to their tip top. We'll be sharing strategies, systems, and stories on how you can grow up your company at the speed you want. If you are searching for your path to the tip top and feel your time is running out, then this podcast is for you. I'm your host, Shannon Susco. Well, welcome. Welcome. Today we have Jeff Borrello with us. Jeff's the CEO of Andromeda. Did I say that right?
You did. Okay. As long as there's no, I know what, most people want to put an I in there and make it Andromedia. So
Andromeda, Technology yep. Solutions. And exactly Jeff, right. You've been the CEO of Andromeda, I'm going to guess, almost 30 years.
Just short, yeah.
Did I do the math right?
Yeah, it's coming up on 28.
Amazing. Yeah. You've got a background in computer science. Me too. Couple of geeks on a podcast today. Okay, nice. Gotta love that.
What could go wrong there?
What could go wrong? Couple of geeks who've grown into being CEOs of companies. Yeah. Not much could go wrong there. But that's what happens, right? You have a lot of other experience before you started Andromeda. I will talk a little bit about that. Yep. And then let's dig in and talk about your journey with your current company. And 28 years in, is that right? 28 years in?
Yeah.
I'm sure there's lots to learn. We first met, I believe, and you correct me if I'm wrong, in Nashville.
Yeah.
An in-person, one-day, three-hag workshop. And that was actually, when I think back to that time, that sounds seems like just yesterday, but there has been a pandemic in between that time and now. Yeah, that was on the edge of the pandemic, right? And we had a full room, super fun, lots of companies, and you flew into Nashville. During the pandemic, we offered a virtual boot camp for CEOs and their leadership teams, and you had signed up for that. And then from there, did a mini boot camp with you and your team, and you ended up working with the Metronomics coach, Keith Upkeys.
Yeah, yeah. That was the journey. And actually, you know, before I met you, I obviously read a couple books, which I really enjoyed, which is what brought me to Nashville. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that's an interesting journey along with, of course, growing up Andromeda for 0 to 28 years. I mean, it's amazing. We meet lots of entrepreneurs, but to have that longevity and maturity in a business, amazing. And it'll be good to talk about that. Tell me a little bit. So you get a computer science degree, and I'm going back because I want to learn the journey. You get a computer science degree, and then what do you end up doing?
So I got to give you the history a little bit before that, just because I got to give a nod. So sixth or seventh grade, a family friend of ours, whose name was Bud Tuvey, great guy, buys six Radio Shack TRS-80 Model 1 computers, this first model that comes out, and he gives five of them away. And this guy never married, didn't have any kids, and gave them away to his close family friends. So that's how I got into computers.
That's awesome.
That computer came with a great book that taught you basic programming. So it started all the way back in seventh grade, right? But yeah, so come out of school with a degree in computer science. I had worked, my dad was very instrumental in getting me a job summers college. He said, you got to get a job, and you got to get a job in your industry. So there was a place right up the road, very high-tech company right in Lockport, Illinois, where no high-tech company should ever be. So I got, you know, I worked there summers and Christmases programming. And then when I graduated, I just stayed on there and worked there full-time for almost 5 years.
Okay. And then what did you end up doing?
So there was three of us there that worked together. We worked hard. It was a really young, good group of people. We worked 60, 70, sometimes 80 hours a week, right?
Yeah, wow.
But it was never great because they did a lot of government work, and we ended up on working 5 days a week, but getting paid for four, or just they were always on, you know, raise freezes and all that kind of stuff. So one day, and there's the dispute over who this was, but since I'm telling the story, I get to say it was me. But I walked in and said, listen, guys, if we're going to work this hard, we should do something for ourselves. Yeah, we should definitely do that. Of course, we had no idea what to do.
Yeah.
But we took care of the internal computer network at this company. So we said, let's go do that. So we went off, we wrote a business plan. We did the whole nine yards. And I really wish I still had a copy of the business plan, because I'm pretty sure when we wrote it, we had it was going to be 80% taking care of people's homes and 20% business. And we've never had a home client ever. So much for that business plan. But yeah, so we started out real slow. We did it. We all still worked full time, and we would just do it kind of on nights and weekends.
Yeah.
Long lunches, unfortunately. And then eventually we had enough space that I went part time. I did the business part time, and I stayed working part time.
Yes.
And eventually went full time. One of my partners did the same exact thing about, you know, a year later. And then pretty soon all three of us were there doing our thing.
Wow. Wow. Now explain to everybody what Andromeda does.
So for the most part, think outsourced IT. So business to business, any company that generally doesn't have their own IT group, we do their IT for them. That's probably about 70% of our business. And then there's another 25-30% that's physical security. So security cameras, door access control, burglar alarms, that kind of thing.
Oh, wow.
So
it's, wow.
It's a mix there. And then we do get a few clients now. We're sort of expanding a little bit into places that do have IT, but they just need help, right? Because everybody's swamped these days and they don't have enough help. So we'll augment them, but we're really there to help the IT guys, not replace them.
Right. So along the way, growing the business, growing into the business, and then growing up the business, you've read some books along the way, right? But if I think about, and maybe when was the first time you got a coach, like a business coach?
It was Keith. It was now. We had always tried to do it our own with limited success. We tried them all, right? We did a little, you know, we started back with, we read Dave Ramsey's Entrepreneur Leadership book.
Yeah.
And we implemented some things from that. And then we came across EOS, and we did a little bit of EOS for a while.
Right.
And then I came across Scaling Up, and I'm like, oh, Scaling Up's like EOS on steroids. This is great.
Yeah.
And so we kept looking for bigger and better.
Right.
But then we never could get it going. It was just like, we were always just kind of running in quicksand, right? We'd get some things implemented, and there were some things we didn't know how to do. And then I came across Three Hagway, and I thought this was like the greatest thing ever, because it was like, it was all the missing pieces, right? It was that, well, Scaling Up had a nice platform, but I didn't quite know what to do with it. So I'm sure my leadership team was like, you know, because about every 18 months I come in with this is the one.
As we did as CEOs, brought in the next flavor, and they're like, oh, how long is this going to last?
Exactly. But you know, one of the things, so we'd always look back and they'd always kind of make fun of me and say, oh, that's the thing. But we always took little pieces of it, and we always came out better on the other side of it. We were just stuck. And I think, again, each of them builds on itself, but the whole Three Hag process is even more complicated. And some of it we just didn't understand. So we're trying to implement this, and we really didn't know what we were doing. So at some point I said, guys, if we're going to do this, we need some help. And it was always the expense. People get hung up on that, on the dollars, right? It's like, besides just implementing the system, Keith has done a phenomenal job of bringing our leadership team together, right? We were together, but we weren't really unified, and we weren't really marching to the same beat. And so it's really been a pretty dramatic change for us.
Yeah. So I love what you said about, you read a little bit, you bring it back to your team, because I did that as well. And then you implement some of it and you're like, okay, got that. Then you read the next one, implement a bit more. But yeah, there are things that get missed and eluded, and your team's like, oh my gosh. Like Shannon or Jeff just went to another CEO conference or growth conference, like eek, right? And you do it yourself. When I think about my experience in that, weird thing is I had a coach from early on. That's why I asked when you got a coach.
Because
I was a really young CEO and I was an athlete. And I was like, well, it sort of makes sense that I go get a coach. So I went and got a coach, but they didn't know. They actually didn't know EOS. They didn't know Scaling Up. They didn't know Three Hag that we created. Yeah. But I kept asking, you must have a repeatable playbook. My coach was a successful multi-time entrepreneur. And so I started that way, but they didn't have a system. But they were willing to work with us to create Three Hag Way and Metronomics, right? And come from a CEO coach, because they were a CEO coach, not a CEO plus leadership team coach. Yeah. And I said, can you just come to leadership team meetings for exactly what you said, right? It helps bring the team together, coach me with my team.
Yeah.
And bring everybody along, right?
To speed it up. The other really big change we've noticed is our leadership meetings, because I don't have to run them. I can just attend them. And it's really made a different, it's just a whole different meeting, because I get to attend as an attendee and I don't have to worry about trying to keep everybody in line and all that. So that's been,
you get to participate.
Think about that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. Right. So tell me after, because you've been working with Keith year and a half.
Probably about a year and a half, because we did a little, we did that little mini thing that was kind of
in the spring.
Yeah.
Yeah. So after, let's say, 26 and a half years, you decide to invest in a coach. What brought you over the line?
I think I'm the smartest guy in the room, which is not a good thing. I mean, I had this problem in college, right? I was struggling in college and my parents were like, you need a tutor. I'm like, I don't need a tutor. So I just always thought, that's how I learned this business, right? I didn't know anything about being a CEO. I didn't know anything about running a business. You just figured it out. So eventually you figure you just keep applying that same logic. But it was just that I could see the frustration, you know, myself and the leadership team of just this, we show up every quarter and we try to implement some part of this and we would just struggle, right?
Yeah.
It was just this,
yeah.
We'd sit in a room for 3 hours and we'd come out with just nothing but nothing. And it was, so eventually it was just like, this isn't working. We've got to do something different. And the funny thing is we say this all the time in different areas. Like we tell people, you know, don't do your own IT. It's the worst thing you do is do your own IT. You don't know what you're doing. So what do? We do our own marketing. We do our own business coaching.
Right,
it's just ridiculous that we do practice what you preach and then get some help.
I love that. Now, I love that you have the experience of doing it yourself, because you do appreciate exactly what you said when you start working with a coach, it just changes the dynamic of the meetings, how you show up for the meeting as a CEO, all those things. So you're a year and a half in before Keith even showed up for your 2-day kickoff, what were your expectations?
Oh, that's a good question. I can tell you this. I think they were probably greater than they should have been, you know, because it probably took that first year for him to really, first of all, he's got to somewhat understand our business. He's got to understand us. We've got to understand him, right? So those first couple of meetings, you know, we came out and we're like, I don't know. So you get that impatientness, right? I'm like, guys, we've got to let this settle. And then probably, you know, now the last couple of meetings we had have been really phenomenal.
Right.
I think my everything always takes too long and why is this taking so long? So my expectations were probably that it was going to go faster and better than it did out of the gates. It's like anything else. It takes patience and you got to just stay the course. And it's been, so one of the things that we've done the last couple of times is again, our meetings were like, we just didn't feel like we got what we wanted out of them. So we've been every month now, we've been doing an intermediate one just virtually.
Yes.
And those have helped tremendously as well.
Yeah.
Cause sometimes you just run out of time, right? It's no matter how much.
Yep.
Every meeting Keith says, he lays out the agenda and he says, and if we have time, we're going to get to this. The last meeting I said, I forbid you to say that anymore because we always run out of time. We never have extra time. Stop saying that.
Oh, that's a classic. You always like pack it in, right? Because you don't want to waste any time.
Right, exactly.
You want to push. It's funny you say patience, because as a CEO and a team, you want to get where you're going faster, right? You want it to progress faster. And as a CEO and now a coach of this system, I'm super impatient too, right? And I would say most coaches and leaders share the same impatience. And the big thing that's holding us back from going faster is just the behavioral side of it. It's all about people. It's all about the culture, the cohesive, and everything that's really soft. And we know in the soft edge. Because we can probably map out and gut out, never recommend gutting out a strategy, but we could do all that.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be the greatest thing until you line up the soft edge, all the people and all of that. Thinking about people listening in who may have a coach and can really relate to what you're going through. And I think 26 and a half years in, enough, going to do this, going to invest, going to go for it. What's the thing that you're a year and a half in? So let's just say it's 6 quarters. Maybe it's not 6 full quarters, but 6 quarters. And a lot of people go, 6 quarters? That's a long time, but it's a progression, right?
Yeah.
And we progress as fast as our team progresses with us. You're running a business and, right?
Yeah.
What's the thing when you think of, just to give listeners an idea, what's the thing that you wish would go faster?
Everything.
I knew you would say that.
Yeah. Just getting to the part where we could actually lay out the 3-year plan.
Yeah.
Just getting there now, right? Where this next meeting's next month or later this month, and just being able to get to that and say, here's those 36 quarters, right? Or 36 months to be able to see the plan. That's where I want to get to. And matter of fact, so the last meeting we did, we finally got the bubbles up, right? With, okay, here's the big differentiators that we're going to work on.
Yes.
And it was a great, awesome. And it took us, same thing. It was a 4-hour meeting. The first 3 hours seemed like a complete just slodge. And then they came out.
And
right?
Then, like, oh, boom. Phenomenal.
Right. And then one of my leaders couldn't be there. He had a vacation scheduled over the meeting. So I got to share it with him a week later. And just again, seeing it, reviewing him and seeing him again, I'm like, oh, I'm so excited about these. And I'm so excited about that next step to now figure out what are those next steps that we need to do to get there. That was a really good breakthrough for me.
Yeah. And I love that you use the word breakthrough, because it's a bit of like each step that you go through is a bit of a breakthrough. And we know we get a picture. For people who aren't familiar with 3-Hagwire or Metronomics, who's listening in, those bubbles are the differentiators, and they're interdependent, and a differentiator is going to create your unique and valuable position. And the thing is that I was told traditionally, you know, I went to business school, I went to computer science school, but business school is like the CEO comes up with the strategy, the CEO tells the team the strategy, and the team needs to go and execute the strategy the CEO came up with. Well, we know this process is different than that. That's why what do you want to speed up? Like everything, including the strategy. But we know that we need to pull and discover the strategy, and there's work to be done. There's work to be done to be confident in your differentiators, and then to be confident that you've got the right ones in order to map out and spend the time on 12 quarters, 36 months. We better be confident in what the differentiators are.
Yeah, for sure. And that's all that underlying work that goes in that you don't even realize that, you know, you got to do the work, right? It's not just going to pop out. It's a couple times in the process after one of the meetings, my sales director, who's even more impatient than I am, if that's possible, would come to me and say, you just need to tell us what to do. I get the leadership in the room, and I want the leadership to be involved. I'm not going to tell you what to do, CEO. That's why I have a leadership team. Like, we'll uncover this together. And at some point, if I need to, I'll make a decision. But generally, I want us to figure it out together. And he's just like, you just need to tell us what to do. I'm like, no, we're going to figure this out together, because it's part of the journey.
And we know it's part of the journey. And we know word that's been used a lot lately. I've seen it so much out there in articles and social, and everyone's talking about delegating. And for me, that's like my least favorite word is delegating, because exactly what your sales leader has said is that I don't want to come up with a strategy and a plan by myself. It's not going to be as good as with others. And if I delegate that, I still own it. The monkeys are on my back, because everyone says, that's your plan. I'm going to do a little bit of it, but that's your plan. Yeah. And so that word delegate, it just kills me, slays me. I just don't want to use that word ever. And what I want to build it up with my leadership team, exactly what you described, because then, number one, the collaborative brain kicks in. Yeah. We get everybody's view. Love that we have that. Two is we get everybody contributing and owning.
Yeah,
it's our plan
all the way down. And hopefully, for the whole entire company, I want it that, to be their
that's
plan, right? Yeah.
It's our plan. And it's actually, the interesting thing is what we learned and what's a part of Metronomics is that cascade out to your team, that as we're building and learning as leaders the plan, so do our next set of leaders, our next leaders and our next teams and so on. What is, when you look forward and you've got like planning coming up later this month, and are you calendar year end? Are you a calendar year end? So then you're going to have 2-day annual planning after that. When you think about this process and you've been in it for 6 quarters, let's just say 6 quarters, and you've known about it a bit longer, where do you want to be by the end of this year in regards to the process?
Yeah. So one of the struggles that we've been bumping up against for about a year is being able to pull our good numbers out of our accounting system. We've changed accountant groups and CFOs here and there through the course of a year, and one sent us this way and one sent us this way. Yeah. So we're really trying to get our latest guys trying to unpack the mess, trying to get some good numbers to make some good decisions, right? Because without the numbers, it's really tough to make some decisions. So we're really struggling with that this year so far.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that I've asked the guy, I'm like, I need numbers before I go to this planning meeting. You got to give me something at least reasonable, right? So if we can get that nailed down, And then being able to take that, those attributes that we've come up with in those differentiators, and really now get those mapped out and really get ourselves on a plan. We do a quarterly all hands, and we've been talking about this journey for a while, but to be able to now put some concrete things for the team to be able to start seeing.
Yeah.
Because really it's been very general. Here's this three hag and here's the, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm sure at one point they're looking at, you know, this BHAG, which you get to look like BHAG. What are you, what's this guy talking about? But to actually be able to, a little bit where the rubber meets the road, I think is going to let people finally start getting in on the vision here of what we're really talking about.
Yeah. And I love that you go to numbers, because the numbers you have in your accounting system are historical. So they can show where you've come from and build the base of forecasting where you need to go. And the fiscal numbers give us a view, the widgets, right? The things that flow through the organization that you and your team control, lining those up for your team, the light bulbs just go on. They're like, oh, I have to do so many of this today in order for us to get to here in our team, in order to us get there. And so on. And it's really, as you said, right, it's a team sport.
Yeah.
So we create the plan together as a team. We create the, agree on what the outcome should be, what winning the game is.
Yep.
That's why the numbers are so important. It'll give us that context.
Yeah.
Right. And I love that that's your next step. Now, some people listening in might go, oh my gosh, you're a year and a half in and you're just figuring out your numbers. Well, that's not true. You've had numbers and whatnot along the way, but it's really connecting the numbers to the things that flow through your organization. And this is behavioral. Your team owns those numbers and getting that. You own like the whole thing, but each function, sales function, marketing function, right, ops function, whatever those functions are, own the things that flow through, right? And they're all interconnected. The other thing that I have found really interesting, as I've been learning with clients for years as well as Keith has, and we learn with clients, and I say it like that because the one thing that, and this is a bit probably naive of me, but when I coached my very first client, went in and did the 2-day kickoff as we do, and we get the whole plan laid out in some way, shape, or form. We can see it. And then we're going to go to the next meeting and the next meeting. So I go to the next quarterly meeting and we do the next part of this, which is getting a bit more clarity and we're laying the plans out. And I go, okay, next meeting, just show up with your 36-month forecast. Think about that. That's like, a lot of people have a hard time writing down 12 months, let alone 36 months,
3 months.
Years, month over month. And I'm like, hey, see you at the next meeting. And I show up at the next meeting and I'm like, oh, you have your 36er. And they're like,
no, we laughed at you.
Yeah. And we know that that's a progression, right? Yeah. That's why I say 6 quarters in, and you're going to those numbers and you're at the point where you're going to lay out the 12 quarters and the 36 months. That's fantastic. And a lot of people go, impatience is part of this,
that's right? It, right, yeah.
Why haven't we been able to do this sooner?
Yeah.
Well, there's so many things we've got to line up to do it. Confidence, a clarity, and visibility, and all that. And it's not that we don't have numbers along the way. We have the best numbers we can. But once we actually forecast out, we've got team results that we can celebrate, our team owns, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm excited for you that you're that's the stage you're in. That's awesome. And you're rolling into the end of this year, which will set you up for that forecast for your next fiscal year. But then you'll have that runway you can see out further.
Yeah. And the forecast is going to be a big deal for us, I think, because we've never, you know, we've been doing this 28 years and like we've never done a budget. People are like, how can you be the size company you are and you don't have a budget? I'm like, just not, because again, we're a bunch of tech guys, right? We have no financial background and we never had a financial person because we just do it ourselves, right? It's that same thing over and over again. But, you know, but when you get down to those, again, those, the forecast numbers and the widgets, because again, now, like you said, the widgets are something the team can own. Because, you know, you do the all hands and you talk about revenue and profit and some of the expenses, and you can just see the eyes glaze over because it's like, how does that impact me, right? And we're going to grow the revenue. Great. To be able to, again, get down to those widgets where I think the team can really understand where it is we're going, I think is going to have a dramatic impact.
Yeah. And it will. I can say that with confidence because the fiscal numbers don't impact the greater team. They just don't. They're made up numbers. They're not moving. Now the leaders need to know the fiscal for sure.
Yeah.
But the whole team to win a soccer game, you have to put so many balls in the net. It's that simple. That means you have to do so many passes. You have to do so many blocks. That's how the team plays. And funny enough, if you walked up to a soccer player after a game, depending on what position they play, they will tell you their individual metrics that helped win that game. They and all of their individual metrics together actually got the ball in the net.
That's a great analogy. I love that.
It's fantastic. And I think that I love that you're at that stage. It's really like that super exciting. Now, let me ask you this. Okay, so you've been on the journey for a year and a half. Continue on the journey. What's the outcome for you? What's the difference maker for you for putting this in place?
Yeah, I think being able to get the plan laid out and then get into this process where you start iterating it, right? To be able to, because that means you've learned that messy beginning is done, right? Where, okay, we now understand the system. I know some coaches, the goal is to, hey, you know, I want to get you into a spot where you don't need me anymore. And that's cool. That's not cool. I don't know. I think there's always going to be value there once you get to a spot because I think you just get some outside perspective that sometimes you need. But I think to get to that where we can see the plan, we can start executing the plan and start seeing the results. Like, hey, this is the plan. And look what happened. It exactly like we thought it would, right? Now you get some momentum going, you get some excitement going, you go, okay, well, let's do this again. And now we start going into those quarterly planning meetings with some excitement as opposed to like, we got to do this
gotta
again.
Gotta get through this, right?
Because we probably had three meetings in there that it was the exact same thing. We were just stuck in the mud.
Yeah.
And we couldn't get out of our own way. And I know Heath was frustrated with us. There's not a more patient guy on the planet, I don't think. He just kept doing his thing, nice and calm, just kept working us and kept working it. And eventually we got past that. And now now every meeting we get to do something new as opposed to this meeting was just like the last one. So so being able to see that progression, I think is going to be pretty phenomenal.
And I really love what you just said about in the beginning, you're laying a foundation.
Yeah.
It can be messy. You're learning the process. You're figuring each other out. Trying to get a certain level of cohesiveness so we can have those discussions that we need on strategy and execution and all of that. So we've got the foundation. And once we get the foundation in place, then as you're already experiencing meeting over meeting, you're actually starting to take some big step forwards and you create some momentum, right? I'm excited for you for this month, this meeting, and then your 2-day annual coming up in the last quarter of this year, because you're going to feel the momentum. And when we think of the phases of Metronomics, right, we think of foundation phase, momentum phase, and compounding phase. And as we get going, especially in the momentum phase, it really frees you up. Because you can see what we need to do, right? You can see what your team needs to do, but you can actually think about, okay, the process, the strategy, like on the business. Yeah, everyone says work on the business, not in the business. Yeah. And getting there is like so freeing. It's one of the best things ever. And you can start thinking differently about the business. We need the CEOs and we need the leaders to think more about the business and being in the whirlwind of it all.
We're definitely stuck in that zone, right? It's like my leaders spend more time some days in the day, like just stuck in the minutia. And it's like, man, we've got to get out of this.
Yeah. So if you can, we think about this and we look at what you're looking forward to is picking up the momentum. And you said briefly, some of the other systems out there, a coach will come in and put the system in place and actually depart. And it's actually interesting. This is probably my naivety back as coming on as a CEO plus leadership team coaches, is that I worked with my first client and I'm thinking, I'll probably be there 3 years. Okay, it's like 10 years later, right? Still working with them. My second client is about 9.5. My third is about 8, you know what I mean? So like my average is between 7 and 10 years right now. And I just, when a company sells, like when they exit, if that's the path they're on, sometimes I go to the other side, but honestly, I go as a coach, I go, woohoo, I can add in a new company.
Yeah.
Because when we think about the strategy side of this and where you got attracted to this and the 3-HAG side, it's really getting that clarity.
Yeah.
Right. Getting clarity and keeping clarity is a tough thing. And clarity and confidence.
The world changes, the market changes, teams change. And I think that's, there's that if they get the coach on board and we get the 3-year plan going and it's working, it's like, then why change it? Right. It's if it's working, why would you take the chance on swapping the coach out thinking it's like that would just be not smart.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Most teams don't swap out a winning coach.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's the naivety of actually the solution, right? It's sort of like, and that I had when I started working with clients. And I actually thought, this sounds interesting, like a lot of people after 3 years are like, that's enough. I'm done. We don't need to do that. But our question was, and the feedback we got is, what else is there?
Yeah.
Right. What else, where else would we go kind of thing? Because we're going to keep, unless you exit the business or the leaders exit or whatever it might be, right?
Yeah, yeah.
If you could sort of provide some advice to the listeners on what they need to think about in looking at choosing a methodology, choosing a coach, what kind of advice could you give our listeners in thinking about what methodology they should consider at all?
I think one of the things is, then the coach will tell you this for sure, right? They're an investment, right? You can't look at them like an expense. It's and an investment sometimes takes time to pay off. So you gotta really plan for enough runway to be able to get some results, right? It's that patience. And I really think trying to find you gotta find someone you really like.
Yeah.
You spend 2-day meeting, but you do dinner, we having drinks afterwards, right? It's a long, you don't want to be hanging out with someone you don't like. That would be a very unfun experience. So, you know, when you're looking, just if you get that, it's like when you're interviewing people to hire them, right? If like, man, I don't want to hang out with this person. Yeah, you probably should hire them. Same thing for a coach, right? Because you're going to spend a lot of time with the coach and they're going to get to know you and they're going to spend a lot of time with you. So you better like them.
Yeah, I love that. Fit is definitely number one thing. No different than a team member.
Yeah.
You're going to spend some time with them and they've got to fit with you and your team and expertise. And I'm a big fan of many systems. Yeah. Metronomics plugs in many different pieces from many systems. And the whole goal is just to provide you and your team with a different view, create confidence, validation. And it's like, it's been a forever learning and being challenged by clients. And I think that if anyone's looking for a coach out there, you got to think about what kind of coach you want. In your case, and what we do at Metronomics is CEO plus leadership team. Hey, I got to ask you one more question.
Yeah.
So not only with Metronomics and Keith Upkeys, you got a coach, you got a methodology, but there's also a software platform that goes with it. Talk a little bit about the open playing field, as we call it, Metronome software, and tell me about what your thoughts were when you started using it and now what your thoughts are.
Yeah, so we're a pretty software heavy place, right? I mean, we're a bunch of techno nerds, so we're always looking for software to help us. And we were using a combination of some meeting software and probably a scaling up tool at some point to try to do some of this. And actually, that was probably one of the first things I found is I probably found the tool. I probably found the software before I actually, you know, is part of the whole process. It's been dramatic for us. I mean, it's same thing. We're still barely touching the surface with it, but we run all our meetings out of it. So any action items that come out of meetings, and all easily trackable. You can go look up somebody's actions. But just being able to put in all our quarterly priorities are in there. Our annual priorities are there. And we, every meeting, every all hands, I stand up and say, I put them up on the screen, but I say, you can go see these anytime you want. They're there.
Right.
Matter of fact, I had somebody the other day. So we have a ton of metrics in there and we've gotten a little sloppy with the metrics and there's a bunch that we're even not using. But somebody asked me, I have a breakfast meeting with new hires every couple of months. And somebody said, hey, are you concerned about all those red company metrics? Well, I thought they were talking about something else. So I gave them some answer and went off on my way. And the next day I open up my daily dashboard in the software and I look every day I see these, but I know they're to be ignored. So I don't pay any attention to them. Well, all of a sudden that filter gets opened up and I looked and I'm like, oh, that's what she was talking about. She was talking about the company metrics and the daily dashboard. And there's look at all that red. So I hurried up and sent out a message to that group and said, you know, I think this is what you were talking about. And it was.
Yeah.
So my weekly email to all the staff that week, I addressed that and said, hey, if you're seeing this and you're concerned about it, this is why.
Yeah.
But it was just such, you feel like sometimes nobody pays attention to that kind of stuff, but they're paying attention and they notice them but nobody has the gumption to say anything.
Right.
So I was so thankful that this woman asked me about it because it was like, yeah, this is, people are probably seeing this and I know to ignore it, but I didn't do a very good job of communicating that. So having that platform where people can see everything.
Yeah. See each other playing the game. Yeah. Because at the end of the day, if we're looking at our plan every day, I love that you're running meetings through there, because if you're running meetings through Metronome software platform, you see the plan every day. It reminds you what you said you would do. Yeah. I mean, that's the biggest thing about business plans is we write them down, we put them on the shelf, we walk away. A year later, we go back and go, oh, wow, did we ever miss?
Yeah.
Right. Rather than every day looking at them. And I'm excited. I wanted to close off with that, because I'm excited for you when you get the connected widgets to the financials, which is what you're working on right now. Seeing that takes the team to the next level, because they can really see that they're scoring goals, if I want to use that, and winning the game. And even if they're not, so they're supposed to, at least you know you're supposed to, and you can have a great offline or whatever it needs to be focused meeting on how we're going to get it back on track.
Yeah.
How are we going to get back on
track? Yeah, I think you hit on it's the connection, right? It really, the software is what connects plan to the kind of the dailies, and you can just, you can see the connections get made. Yeah, and I'm really, and again, same thing, it's a work in progress, right? It's just like the system, the software.
Yes.
The software does so much. And we keep, and there's pieces we're not using yet. There's pieces that we started using that we neglected, right? But it's just, again, it's part of the plan, and just it's just working that in and getting everybody's
part of the progression.
Yeah.
Part of the progression.
Yeah, it's really fun to see that connect.
Amazing. If people want to learn more about Andromeda and yourself, where can they go to find out more info?
Yeah. So our website is We Networks, WENETWORK.com, which everybody says, why is your company Andromeda and your domain name is We Network? And it's because nobody could spell Andromeda, right? All the way back to the beginning of the call, nobody could spell Andromeda. So when we started the company, it was pre-internet. But when somebody said, well, you know, you need a domain name, I was like, well, it can't be Andromeda. Nobody can spell that. And most people can't say it. So it's been We Network that whole entire time, back from when we did business networking. That was what we did. So it was kind of funny. But yeah.
So WeNetwork.com. It's easy to remember. It should be easy to spell. You can learn more about Jeff and Andromeda, and what a story it is. So congratulations on 28 years. Congratulations on, you know what, stepping forward and bringing in a CEO plus leadership team coach, Keith Upkeys. So I appreciate you being here, sharing your experience, because so many have the same.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me. And, you know, I got to say thank you to you and what you've done with the books and the software and the coaching. It's the kind of thing, and I know it's, I'm sure it's part of your passion, is you know, you're changing lives, and you're definitely going to change the lives of me, my leadership team, and our entire company. So thank you for everything that you do.
Yeah, you are so welcome. It's exactly why I show up every day, and I love talking to you today. It's so great to learn how you've utilized it. Thanks, Jeff. Thanks, everybody, for listening in. Have a great day. Tip Top is brought to you by Metronomics. To find out more about Metronomics and how this 20-plus year old proven system will save you time and money as you grow up your business, visit metronomics.com. That's metronomics.com. Also, search for Metronomics in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, or anywhere else podcasts are found.